Welcome to Monday Morning Murder in the News with Alyssa Carroll.
Good morning, heathens, and happy Murder in the News Monday. That is a few hours late, but, you know, Sunday night, long weekend getting the garden ready, and I also filmed some things for a future vlog, so there you go. Anyway, let's get into it. So our first article comes from NBCNews.com, and the title reads, Florida mother missing for days, found alive in shipping container, banging on locked door. Marlene Lopez, 52, was reported missing after she failed to pick up her son.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So a Florida, looking at you, Florida, mother, who was reported missing by a concerned coworker, was found alive in a shipping container after someone heard her banging on the locked door, police said. Marlene Lopez, 52, was located Thursday afternoon, quote, trapped in a shipping container located next to a business, end quote, on Coco Boulevard, the Coco Police Department said in a Facebook statement. She was last seen Monday at her home and was reported missing Wednesday after a concerned coworker called police and said she had failed to pick up her son, according to authorities. Quote, during the course of the investigation, detectives were notified that the woman had been found. She had been banging on the door of the shipping container when someone heard her and unlocked the door, police said. Tyler Sonnenberg, who owns the shipping container, told local station WKMG that he first saw Lopez walking around the area on Monday. He said he locked the container, which is used to store lawnmowers, on Tuesday afternoon and did not hear any noise on Wednesday, according to the news station. Sonnenberg said he thinks Lopez walked into the unit on her own and passed out. He told the station that he was not at fault for Lopez getting stuck inside the container. Police said they are still investigating how Lopez ended up inside the container. That is super interesting. I wonder if we're looking into Sonnenberg. I mean, innocent till proven guilty, of course, but like who in their right mind, who normally works, has a child, no, we don't see anything about her being irresponsible, right? Just all of a sudden walks into a place and doesn't say anything when someone shuts and locks the doors. Did he not check it before he shut it and lock it for even stray animals? So I'm thinking we need to look at him, but you know, who knows? Our next article comes from FoxNews.com. Title reads, Two Ohio women facing felony charges after propping up dead man in a car, driving to bank to withdraw his money. That's some cold shit. Karen Kassbaum, 63, and Laureen Bay Ferrallo, 55, were each charged with gross abuse of a corpse and theft. So two Ohio women allegedly propped up a dead man in their car during a visit to the bank to withdraw hundreds of dollars from his account before they dropped him off at the hospital. This is just screaming Weekend at Bernie's, right? So Karen and Laureen are now facing felony charges after dropping off the body of Douglas Lehman, 80, at Ashtabula County Medical Center emergency room on Monday and leaving, according to the police chief and the prosecuting attorney. So medical personnel had no idea who Lehman was when the women dropped him at the emergency room. Quote, they left without providing any information to the hospital. They just left him. And then there's a picture of the two women and they just look like normal ass women. One of them looks a little goofy and the other one looks kind of pissy, but outside of that, average. One of the women called the hospital a few hours later and provided some personal information about him, and authorities were able to identify him, Stell said in a press release. Officers were then dispatched to Layman's home and spoke to the two women who said he had died at his home in Ashtabula. The two women were taken into custody on Wednesday and were each charged with gross abuse of a corpse and theft. Quote, this is very unusual, a person affiliated with the case told Fox 8. The women, who were not related to Layman but lived at his house, found the man dead inside his home on Monday but decided not to call 911 and instead attempted to take the money from his bank account. According to officials, the women are accused of taking Layman's body out of the home and propping him up in the passenger seat of their car with the help of a third unidentified individual, the plot thickens, and driving through a bank drive-through to withdraw around $900. Police said the women had propped Layman up so the bank teller could see him and that the bank previously allowed them to withdraw money from Layman's account as long as he was in the vehicle. The cause of his death is unknown. So a person affiliated with the case told Fox 8 the case remains under investigation and the two women could face additional charges. Kazbaum appeared in court for her arraignment this week and a judge set her bond at $5,000. Ferrello is scheduled to appear for her arraignment on Thursday. If convicted, they could face up to a year in prison on each charge. Both women have previous criminal histories. Well, you think? Kazbaum has been convicted of theft, soliciting, criminal trespass, receiving stolen property, possession of drug paraphernalia, and attempted drug abuse. While the other woman has been convicted of reckless assault, possession of drug paraphernalia, criminal trespass, driving under the influence, theft, and attempted possession of drugs. Attempted possession. And the other one was attempted abuse, drug abuse. What a pair. Just upstanding citizens of our country. Ridiculous. Our next article comes from 9news.com.au. So you know what that means. That means that someone sent me an article that is one of our international listeners. So hello, guys. We love you. Title reads, Police link two crime scenes after woman's body found in wheelie bin, which I believe is just what we call like the outside trash bin that we leave at the end of the driveway for the trash men. You know what I'm saying? So police are investigating after a woman's body was found inside a wheelie bin on an isolated road in Victoria. This is Australia. The body, which is believed to be Shweta Madhagani, was discovered at midday on an isolated dirt road at Buckley, half an hour west of Geelong. So officers swarmed Mount Pollock Road this morning, but the bin remained where it was for hours before homicide squad detectives arrived late this afternoon. They were just guarding it to make sure nobody touched it. So one neighbor told 9 News the bin just missed being on his land by a couple of meters. Quote, I've never seen a wheelie bin laying in there, and I go up and down here quite often shooting rabbits, Eric Lewis said. It's something Buckley's never seen for a long time or ever. Police would not confirm basic details, including the woman's age. However, officers said the crime scene was linked to a second 86 kilometers away in Point Cook. This crime scene was linked to a second crime scene 86 kilometers away. Neighbors told 9 News that she was, quote, a perfect woman and a perfect mother, end quote, who would often cook and share food and invited people into her home. So friends who gathered at the Murka Way home said it was built by her and someone named Ashok Raj in 2016. They told 9 News Raj flew to India with their son before police received a tip-off about the location of her body. At this stage, police have not made any arrests. So anyone with information can contact Crime Stoppers on, and again, this is in Australia, but it's 1-800-333-000. 1-800-333-000. How do you Australians say your phone numbers? Leave a comment below and let me know. But that's the end of that article. I would say if the man took their son and went to India, just like right as this happened, we should probably be looking at him. I don't know. It's just a hunch, right? So someone sent me this one, and it's not funny, but it's funny because how many of you have watched Squid Game? And if you love it, leave me a comment below. Just leave me comments. But Squid Game is one of those that I didn't think I would like because I really have a hard time suspending disbelief when there are dubbed, like the voices are dubbed in English and there's subtitles because the mouths don't match the words. It's my neurodivergency. But Squid Game held my attention and I really loved that show. So this is about Squid Game. You remember the old man? He was person number one. I think his number was 001. You remember him? You remember him. So our next article comes from people.com and the title reads, Squid Game actor Oh Young-soo sentenced in sexual misconduct case. Now calm down. I did skim the first few sentences of this one. I know that's cheating. Don't bully me about it. But anyway, the 79-year-old actor was sentenced to up to 8 months in prison with a suspended sentence. And it says, Squid Game breakout Oh Young-soo has been convicted of sexual misconduct in Seoul, South Korea. The actor, who is 79, will spend up to 8 months in prison, and the sentence will be suspended for 2 years following a 2017 incident where he allegedly hugged and kissed a woman on the cheek without her consent. Oh is also required to attend a 40-hour sexual violence treatment program, Reuters confirmed. And the person that sent me this article, by the way, was talking about how South Korea does not mess around. And they certainly don't. So after his conviction on Friday, Oh denied he was responsible for the misconduct and said he'd appeal his conviction. Deadline reported. Deadline, not Dateline. So, yep, here he is, 001. That was his number. Oh was initially charged in the case in November of 2022. He previously told Korean broadcaster JTBC he did have contact with the woman, but only was, quote, holding her hand while guiding the way, and he, quote, only apologized because she said she wouldn't take issue with an apology. Something lost in translation there, but I'm sure you get it. So during the trial, Judge Jung Yun-ju cited the woman's diary as evidence and said her claims were, quote, consistent and appear to be statements that cannot be made without actually experiencing them, end quote. I find that hard to believe. On the hit Netflix series, Oh played Oh Il-nam, the lead antagonist in the Korean drama. He was nominated for a Golden Globe for the role, his first major awards nod, and he won. At the age of 77, he became the first Korean actor to ever win at the awards show. And then after that, they just kind of talk about the Squid Game show, but I don't want to read all of that because I don't want to ruin anything in case any of you haven't seen it. If you can handle some of the, it's not really gore, but just some of the, you know it's coming kind of violence and stuff, then it's a really good show. Okay, so our next article comes from turn210.com. So it's the words turn to and the number 10, all one word, .com. 10 WJAR. Title reads, Oregon man killed mom with steak because he believed she was a vampire, say police. So coming out of Lincoln County, Oregon. Disturbing details are emerging in the death of a woman on the Oregon coast, including that her son allegedly stabbed her to death with a steak because he thought she was a vampire. That is not the reaction I would have if I thought someone that I knew and was friends with or close to was a vampire. Anyway, so Judy Poe, 79, was found dead on March 2nd after her adult son reported to police that his mother was dead on East Logsdon Road in Silets. She was almost 80. According to court documents, the man, later identified as Robert Bruce Poe, 56, was covered in blood and standing in the driveway when deputies arrived at the property. His mother was found nearby with a large wooden stake sticking out of her throat, believed to be part of a broken gardening tool. Police said Poe was also holding a bloody purse and a letter belonging to his mother. Poe reportedly told deputies that his mom was a vampire who often, quote, poked him at night, and he would often wake with blood on his sheets, and that he had to kill her to protect himself. Poe was arraigned Wednesday on second-degree murder charges and is due back in court on March 20th. Jail records show he's being held without bail. And that's the end of the article, but it makes me think there's something deeper going on. You know, waking up with blood on his sheets and stuff. Come on. So, some kind of delusions, no doubt. So, our next article isn't really like a regular news article. It's more of like a magazine article online someone sent to me, but the title was pretty interesting. So, we're going to experience this together. I didn't read ahead. And it comes from the Economist.com, 1843 magazine. Never heard of it. And the title says, "The Secret Police Killed His Parents, Then One of Them Adopted Him." Again, this one was sent to me. So Argentines orphaned decades ago by a murderous junta are learning who their real parents were. By Matthew Bremner. When Guillermo Gomez was a boy in the mid-1980s, he was lying in bed next to his mother at their home in Buenos Aires when she asked him a strange question. Quote, "What would you do if one of these days, when I'm working, a woman comes along and tells you she's your mother? Would you run away with her?" Guillermo didn't understand. I mean, how could he have another mother? Tears welled in his eyes. Quote, "I'm not going anywhere," he whimpered. "You're my mother." So Teodora was a short, heavy-set woman with an explosive temper, but she'd always been devoted to her son, working long hours as a housemaid and cleaner to pay the bills. Guillermo thought of the two as an unbeatable team, united against the world, as he put it, but united especially against his father, Francisco. A chain smoker with a receding hairline, Francisco Gomez never went anywhere without his revolver. He worked as an intelligence officer in the Argentine Air Force, though Guillermo had no idea what his job entailed. When he wasn't at work, Gomez was mercilessly cruel to his wife, berating her and subjecting her to frequent beatings, some so severe that she ended up in the hospital. Quote, "There was one time he hit her with a shotgun, then said he'd shoot her in the head," Guillermo said. Now, when Guillermo was about 5 and increasingly terrified, Teodora resolved to escape with her son. They clambered over the house's fence and sought refuge with a neighbor who reported Gomez to the police for domestic abuse. Right on, neighbor. But after the Air Force intervened, according to Guillermo, the police chose not to press charges and the case file vanished. Gomez forced his wife and son back into the house, after which the beatings continued. Because that's what happens. Quote, "We spent the next 5 years constantly running away from him," Guillermo said. He and Teodora managed to escape on a number of further occasions, hiding out in neighborhoods in and around Buenos Aires. At one point, they even moved to San Luis, a city 500 miles away. Each time, Gomez managed to find them and drag them back to the family home. Despite his father's cruelty, Guillermo longed for his approval, and that's absolutely normal, side note. Desperately hanging on to any sign of affection or small act of kindness. During the rare moments when his parents weren't fighting, Guillermo found joy in his father's occasional visits to his school when Gomez would bring a handful of sweets for him and his friends. A mere handful. How generous. On cold winter mornings, his father would sometimes warm the boys' socks on the stove. And okay, that's pretty nice. Even so, the ceaseless cycle of running and living in fear eventually became unbearable. When Guillermo was 8, Teodora filed for divorce, and Gomez gradually faded from Guillermo's life. Guillermo was upset and confused by his father's apparent lack of interest in him. Quote, "I could never fathom why parting ways with Teodora meant severing the bond between us," he said. As a teenager, he began to wonder whether Gomez was even his real father. The two looked nothing alike. Guillermo's skin was considerably lighter, and he was much taller. Well, one day, Guillermo confronted his mother, quote, "Did you cheat on Dad with another man?" Teodora was furious. "I believe she hurled something at me," said Guillermo. So he stopped asking questions. Then, in 2000, when Guillermo was 21 and working at a fast food outlet on the outskirts of Buenos Aires, he was approached by two women he didn't recognize. One was carrying a baby. To his surprise, the other woman addressed him by his full name, asking him to spare a moment. Guillermo, a little uneasy, as we all would be, replied that he was busy, but the woman was undeterred. She wrote something on a piece of paper, tucked it into a book, and handed it to him. So the book was called Missing as Children, Found as Youths, and it was published by Abuelas de Plaza de Mayo, Grandmothers of the Plaza de Mayo, I hope I pronounced that right, an organization dedicated to locating the children of Argentina's disappeared, the people murdered by the military regime that ruled the country for 7 years, beginning in 1976. Inside the book was a message which read, quote, "I'm Mariana Eva Perez, the daughter of disappeared, and I'm searching for my long-lost brother. I think you might be him." Guillermo looked up. The woman was still in the restaurant. He apologized for his initial suspicion, but said he couldn't be her brother. He fumbled for his ID to prove his name and date of birth. Mariana smiled knowingly and gestured towards the book. Guillermo flicked through pages and pages of pictures of missing persons until he stumbled upon black and white photographs of a couple who bore an uncanny resemblance to him. Like Guillermo, the man had thick eyebrows, a ski jump nose, large ears, and straight dark hair. The caption revealed that the couple had been abducted by the Argentine Air Force in October of 1978. A month later, the woman gave birth to a baby in a detention center. November 1978, the month Guillermo was born. In the weeks and months that followed, Guillermo would come to understand why Teodora had asked him about his second mum, M-U-M, that his sister had been robbed from him, that his life for the past 2 decades had been a lie. Soon, there would come a revelation that was even more remarkable. Gomez, the father who had shown him so little love, had not only been an imposter, he was one of the men personally responsible for the deaths of Guillermo's real parents. That is insane. The article is quite long, but that is the issue at hand, so that's absolutely awful. But I am certainly glad that his sister found him. I think that is miraculous. I think it's fantastic. So thanks for sharing that. So our next article, also sent to me, comes from thesmokinggun.com since 1997. I'm not familiar with this source, so grain of salt. But the title reads, "Man Charged with Vile Acts at Safeway Market." This happened on March 15th. So a supermarket employee pleasured himself into produce and other unsealed merchandise, according to Colorado police, who say that videos of the vile activity were found during a recent search of the man's residence. Oh my God, everyone, please wash your produce and other open things. Oh, ugh. Anyway, Stephen Masalta, 32, was busted last month on charges that he masturbated outside numerous coffee shops and businesses in the Fort Collins area. At the time of Masalta's arrest, cops executed a search warrant at his home and seized electronic devices containing incriminating video evidence. That cash, which investigators are still reviewing, resulted this week in additional misdemeanor and felony counts being filed against Masalta. This dude just looks like an average, balding, like facial hair, neutral expression, average. Now, since his February arrest, Masalta has been held in the Larimer County lockup in lieu of $25,000 bond. He is scheduled for a March 22nd court appearance on the new counts. The police probe of Masalta has determined that he was employed at a Safeway store in Fort Collins for a brief period ending last month. Videos recorded by Masalta, police allege, show him masturbating onto fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, all of which are not commercially sealed inside the supermarket pictured below. It just looks like a regular produce department. The clips have allowed detectives to identify alleged victims, some of whom are believed to be minors. Oh. As a result, Masalta has been charged with 16 attempted sexual assaults on a child counts. As the probe of Masalta continues, police anticipate additional charges and more victims being identified. Until recently, Masalta appears to have resided in Sacramento, California. And then finally, our last article comes up to us from WYFF4.com. WYFF4.com. WYFF News 4 Greenville. And the title reads, man charged after filing two false police reports on Spartanburg County, South Carolina, Deputy Sled says. So in case you couldn't tell, this is coming out of South Carolina. A man has been charged after filing two false police reports on a South Carolina deputy, according to Sled. Arrest warrants state that on October 20th, 2023, Craig Ninja Antonio Bruton, 35, of Moore, filed a police report of a felony against a Spartanburg County deputy. Now, as a side note, the person that sent me this article actually gave me the slightest hint and just said the man has the name Ninja in his government name, right? Ninja. And I agree, that's pretty cool. So in the picture, he is a black man. He's got braids. Just looks like a normal guy. He's got a neck brace on. And then a haphazardly, I don't know if it's like a white jumpsuit because he's been arrested. I'm not sure. But he doesn't look super happy. So according to the arrest warrant, the police report stated that the Spartanburg deputy allegedly sexually assaulted Bruton during an arrest on September 19th, 2023, then again on October 18th, 2023. Authorities were able to determine throughout their investigation that Bruton's reports were false. Bruton has been charged with two counts of filing a false police report for a felony on Monday. He was booked into the Spartanburg County Detention Center. That's the end of that article. But still interesting that his Craig Ninja Antonio Bruton, B-R-E-W-T-O-N, Ninja. That's interesting. You don't see that every day. I don't know. I wonder if he added that or if his parents gave him that. That's interesting. And with that, that's the end of the news. So again, you guys are knocking it out of the park, sending me articles. I love it. Just keep them coming. The weirder, the better, in my most humble opinion. But I do appreciate you sending me these. And to my international listeners, as always, you have an open invitation to send me things going on in your country, as long as the article can be translated into English, because I am one of those Americans that just doesn't know how to speak any other languages. I apologize. I am ashamed. I'll admit it. I am. I can understand a lot more Spanish than I can speak, and I did take a year of French in high school, so I understand the tiniest bit of that. So, send me stuff. Outside of that, busy time here in the Middle South, getting the garden ready and getting seeds planted because supplementing, you know, I used to garden in can just to keep the action of that alive, you know, to teach the next generation, because one never knows when the zombie apocalypse is going to happen, right? That's what we talk about in my house. You know, well, zombie apocalypse, that would be a very useful thing to know how to do. So like, I know how to sew and knit and crochet, and I know how to build, and I know how to can and grow food and preserve. I know how to do a lot of these things. Pretty handy. But now it almost seems like you need to do that just to supplement your freaking grocery bill. You know what I'm saying? And I encourage all of you to grow something. You know, get a flower pot, fill it full of dirt, grow some tomatoes. If you don't like tomatoes, grow some bell peppers. I don't know, grow something. I'm growing shit that freezes beautifully. So like broccoli and cauliflower. And I know you guys don't want to hear about Farmer Alyssa, but anyway, so that's, it's a pretty busy time where I'm at. But everyone that worked over the weekend, as always, you are greatly, greatly appreciated. You guys are underappreciated. You are the rock stars of customer service. So we thank you for your sacrifice. And to everyone else, let's make it through the week. The new job I have is so much better than the other one. I'm much, much happier. And have a great week, guys. Love ya. Bye.